Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
A lot of people doing a lot of eating over the holidays. Some of us are eating things that we try to stay away from the rest of the year. We feel guilty about it. So we're going to do a poem that you've chosen from the Annals of Internal Medicine on cholesterol. And I'm actually really excited to hear your take on this because you're sort of, you know, doctor screening, and this is a key screening issue. You'll hear that that screening recommendations here are a little bit different than we've been hearing from some other organizations. Perhaps the issue of cholesterol screening is one of the most controversial in medicine, particularly when it relates to primary prevention. In other words, for those that don't have any history of cardiac disease, lots of studies have found a graded relationship between total cholesterol concentration and coronary artery risk. Patients with known coronary artery disease, in other words, MIs, angina, prior history of revascularization, et cetera, and other types of cardiovascular disease, carotid artery disease and peripheral vascular disease and the like, have a higher risk, 10-year risk of cardiovascular events, and seem to benefit from treatment with a statin. We're not going to talk about that group today. We've read recently in papers, in some cases, there might be a benefit for a pro-protein convertase, subtilsin kexin 9, often abbreviated PCSK9 inhibitor. Lots of this in the news in the past six or so weeks. Some of it where these drugs are taken by themselves, sometimes with a statin. These are sort of billion-dollar drugs. They're controversial. Obviously, there are no long-term studies looking back at important patient-oriented outcomes. In contrast, patients without known coronary vascular disease are generally at much lower risk and much more varied baseline. As such, the treatment approach will depend on a determination of sort of a global coronary vascular risk as the potential absolute risk reduction with treatment with these medicines, et cetera, is going to be much, much smaller than it is with someone with a larger risk. Mark has found the study from the Annals. It was published in 2015. It looks like it's in volume 163, starting on page 291. It answers the question, for the primary and secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease, how should risk be assessed and what should be done about elevated lipid levels? Mark, what did they do and perhaps what are they recommending?
Okay, but first of all, I just got to call you out on saying Annals. You know, there is an Annals of Family Medicine, and just you internists are always like, oh, there's only one Annals, Annals of Internal Medicine. Well, buddy, it's the Annals of Family Medicine for me, okay?
Okay, but I did say at the top of my introduction the Annals. So I just thought I would just...
All right.
Okay, but you're right. And the Annals of Family Medicine is a great journal, so I did not mean any disrespect to it.
Okay, thank you. Hey, yeah, this was a guideline developed by the DOD and the Department of Veterans Affairs to help guide management of dyslipidemia in the veteran population, which is obviously, I think any of us who's practiced in a VA hospital, as I did in my training, you know, there's a fairly significant cardiovascular risk, a fair amount of tobacco use, and a lot of men who tend to maybe have a little bit higher risk than women. So it's an important topic for them. They based it on a systematic review of the literature. The panel members were free of conflicts of interest, and they graded the evidence and the strength of recommendations. So they did a good evidence-based review of this very complex topic. So they divided up into primary and secondary prevention. So primary prevention, as a reminder, is folks who have no known cardiovascular disease. And they recommend beginning by calculating 10-year cardiovascular risk. There's the new pooled cohort equations that you can find online very easily. There's an app you can download. It's pretty quick. It takes less than a minute to calculate that 10-year risk. And it is an advantage of those. While they've been criticized, I think they've kind of made a comeback. And overall, I'm pretty comfortable with them. And they also are customized to by race, which is something that the older calculators weren't. So the authors say we ought to think about three groups of patients. So if they have a less than 6% risk of cardiovascular disease, don't worry about treating them with a statin. The relative the benefit in that group is likely to be very small. 6 to 12% risk over 10 years, limited evidence of benefit, consider, have a discussion with the patient. Greater than 12%, significant benefit, and, you know, most of those patients should be on a statin. The corresponding recommendations from the National Cholesterol Education Program that came out last year were more aggressive. They were talking about 5%, you know, treating anybody that had a 5% risk or 7.5%. So these are a little bit more cautious. And it makes sense. You know, the relative risk reduction, if we say it's about 20%, that a 20% reduction from 6% isn't very much. A 20% reduction from 15% is pretty substantial. So the greater the risk is, the greater the absolute reduction with a statin, and the more people benefit, and the smaller the number needed to treat. So basically, treat most of those patients at high risk. Talk about the ones with intermediate risk, and don't worry about the ones if it's less than 6%. Use a moderate fixed-dose statin, and then they say don't bother, just put them on a statin, simvastatin, let's say 40 milligrams, or Lipitor 20 milligrams, and fire and forget. Put them on a statin, don't keep checking levels, don't keep adjusting the dose, ask them if they're taking it, ask them if they're tolerating it, but don't worry about all of this chasing numbers that we do. For secondary prevention, they say also use a moderate fixed-dose statin. In some patients with recurrent cardiac events, the very high risk, multiple uncontrolled risk factors, consider higher doses or higher intensity statins. So this is a bottom line. This is a guideline that provides an alternative to the NCEP guideline. It's somewhat less aggressive. I think for me, I'm more comfortable with these recommendations in terms of how they evaluate risk and when they decide to intervene. And I think they give, you know, to me, it's just it's guidance that seems more consistent with the evidence that's out there.
What I'm going to do is push you a little further, though. You know, I'm totally with you on not, you know, chasing, you know, and having patients come back just to get their cholesterol checked and adjusting the dose up and down. But my question is firing and forgetting. You know, it's easy for us to have patients on medicines for years and years. And at what point do we want to check? Every 3 years, every 5 years, or do we really just want to forget it?
Well, what are we looking for? You know, there's the underlying assumption of the fire of the tracking of levels is that what really matters is how low a level you achieve rather than that you have a fairly consistent benefit with a given dose of the medication. And the evidence of treating to target is actually very poor. And, you know, I don't buy that there is, let's say, a clear advantage to treating to target. I think, the literature that's out there looking at studies, that have, you know, if you actually look at it, really most of the literature is different doses or different intensities, not randomizing people to different targets.
So as far as you know, we don't develop tolerance to these. It's not that as we age, we need more medicine to get the same effect. We can just, you're suggesting just sticking with the dose and,
Yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to reassess. You know, maybe you would reassess the cardiovascular risk periodically, and that might put you in a different group where you have a different risk. So, you know, some sort of periodic reassessment. They don't specify an interval for that. You know, personally, I would think every 3 to 5 years is probably reasonable for something like that. But this constant, you know, we have people out there getting their cholesterol checked every 6 months, and, you know, that's clearly excessive. And I think maybe every 3 years or 5 years, you know, you recheck the cholesterol, you recheck the, you know, talk about the risk factors, and then you know, make sure you're on track.
Excellent. Makes a great deal of sense. We will talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.